Yeah. So I started my career in investment banking, and so I got a pretty early taste of what working a lot and some high stress environments feels like and tastes like. It was fine for the time. I think I learned a ton, got a lot of really valuable experience, especially just from a professionalism perspective of how things look, how you present yourself, how we present companies. So it was a great experience from that. But I think going into it, I knew this was not going to be long term. Let me learn some things, try to take it to my next level.
Hey, Greg.
Welcome to the Corporate Escapee Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Brett. I appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. And this is kind of following a theme because the last person I had on the podcast, Megan, she talks about user-generated content. She was not a Gen Xer. She was only 35, but she was doing something that was really interesting. And part of what this podcast is to show people what's possible, especially some of us Gen Xers that have been stuck in our ways for a long time. And I know that you had left corporate after a short stint and got into the fitness space, opened a gym. And so I thought, you know what, let's show people what's possible, what's out there. So I'll give you a chance to introduce yourself to the audience, but I just wanted to provide a little context as to why we have a non-Gen Xer on the podcast today. So Greg, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Currently, I'm living in Maryville, Tennessee, which is just outside of Knoxville, so east side of Tennessee. I opened a athlete sports performance and adult fitness gym here. I started training at a park last summer in June, roughly June, July, and then was doing that throughout the fall, moved into my own facility that I'm in now in November, and then have been growing it, trying to scale it, get more and more adults and athletes in here. It's going really, really good so far. It's been a blessing. It's
It's
been a fun
awesome.
ride. It's been good.
Yeah, I'm sure the stress is a little bit different. So, but let's go back, right, to because you played football in college and went into financial services. Correct me if I'm
Correct.
wrong, is that right?
Yep,
Okay,
that's
and that's
correct.
what brought you down to Tennessee. And when was it you kind of figured out that, man, corporate life wasn't quite for you?
Yeah. So I started my career in investment banking, and so I got a pretty early taste of what working a lot and some high stress environments feels like and tastes like. It was fine for the time. I think I learned a ton, got a lot of really valuable experience, especially just from a professionalism perspective of how things look, how you present yourself, how we present companies. So it was a great experience from that. But I think going into it, I knew this was not going to be long term. Let me learn some things, try to take it to my next role and kind of go from there. After that, so I was living in Minneapolis at the time, right after school. I moved back to Chicago and got a job with a consumer packaged good company. It's called Chomps. They make the premium meat sticks.
Yeah.
Started in their finance team and it went all right. It was a good transition time for me. I thought the role was interesting, but there was kind of something eating at me where I just didn't have that sense of fulfillment in what I was doing. I even tried, moving to a different team. And so I joined the operations team and was doing more procurement for them, but just something didn't feel right, didn't feel right. And so ultimately they let me go, which is kind of a funny twist in the story. They let me go in February of 2024. And for me, I was like, kind of had these two experiences. It didn't really fill my cup. Felt like I could have been doing something else, could have been doing something more. I've always had this passion for health and wellness. Your point, I played college football, had a knee injury my freshman year. I tore my ACL, which was just kind of pretty pivotal for my own health journey. I got this athletic body that was just kind of taken from me, where I had to relearn how to walk, relearn how to run, kind of do all these things. And I was like, up to this point, I kind of took my life for granted. And I was like, I never want to do this again. And so I was like, what does this look like? What does this path look like? And I kind of just jumped right in. I tried finding different jobs, different coaching jobs. I got, various certifications that, different people in the industry talked about and said you needed. I went and toured different gyms. Like I drove to Winston-Salem, which is probably about 4.5 hour drive from Knoxville, just through a mutual connection. Met with the guy that owned a gym there. And that kind of was planting the seed that, this is probably something that I could do. I did something similar to Columbia, South Carolina, visited a gym there. And so it was just kind of one step after the other that kind of led me to this, where I was like, why not give it a
Here we
try, see
go.
what happens? Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So, and as you're going through that path, and again, I think a lot of us, again, I'm speaking more from the age, because you've discovered something we all discover much later, right? That corporate, it just left. It served its purpose, and some of us served its purpose longer than others. But as we get to that point where, and that's most of this audience, is it's no longer doing what it needs to do and trying to figure out what's next. And so kind of what was, you did some experiment. You thought, I like the wellness. I like the gyms. You went and visited. So was that the original plan? Hey, I'm just going to open up a gym? Or what were some of the other things you considered or tested before you started this program?
I thought about doing some sort of nutrition coaching piece, maybe doing like corporate wellness and working with the corporation on a wellness plan or something. You know, I coached at three different CrossFit gyms at one time. And I kind of thought doing something like that was something that I'd want to do, you know, just being like a head coach or something like that. And then it finally, and kind of over the course of this, I had three different situations where different people brought it up or parents brought it up of like me training their kid. And finally, after the third instance of this parent asking me to train their two kids, something kind of clicked for me. And I was like, you know, I've always been this athlete. I've always loved the athlete mentality. I kind of took that with me to the corporate world. You know, is this something that I could help coach, you know, younger athletes with? And with my experience of, I played 2 years of college football and ended up quitting just because I had a handful of injuries. My body didn't feel that good. And kind of looking back, I lived with a lot of regret over that decision. Knowing what I know now about training and how my body feels now from what I've done differently, I would go back any day to change it and go back and play again. And so I want to try to give that to the athletes now, where put their mentality in a better position, put their bodies in a better position, so that they don't have to live with the same sort of pain that I feel. So it kind of just took different people saying different things for things to finally click. And after that third one, I talked with them. Started training their athletes. They had some friends that they were talking about it with, and I had a handful that were training with me. I was like, I think this is the way to go. Let's dive in and let's see where we can take this.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so did you have gym space, or was it really, we're going to go find a place to train? Or, you know what I'm saying? So where did the gym come into this? Is that something you just realized you needed after you started training? What was that process?
Yeah, so I kind of, the first order was like, I just need something. And I was like, you know, I don't really know what a financial plan looks like, or I don't know how much money you can really commit to like leasing something. So I was like, let's go to a park. So there's a local park here in town that was there, you know, 5-6 days a week at different times, texting parents, hey, does this time work for you guys? Does this time work? You know, trying to get athletes to kind of coordinate times or come on different times. And then was doing that for, you know, 3-4 months. Things were going really good. And then October, November rolled around. You know, for me, I don't really think it gets too cold down here in Tennessee, but people here think so. So I was like, I don't think people are going to want to be training when it's 30, 40 degrees outside. So I was like, I should probably think about some space. And then I got connected with like a commercial real estate agent, and they helped me find the space that I'm in now. It was a pretty quick process. I looked at a handful of places, and the place that where I'm at now is it's been really good, and I got really lucky with kind of how it worked out. So far, I feel like luck has definitely been on my side, and just how things have fallen into place.
Yeah, luck, but also willing to put the effort into it. Because I think too often we get stuck, paralyzed, right? Like, I need a gym, but I don't know how to find a gym and do these things, right? I've never done real estate. I've never coached kids, right? There's just a whole bunch of things that, you know, again, I'm speaking more to the Gen Xers out there, that corporate just put us into a box that says, don't rock the boat, you know, don't make mistakes, don't all these things. But when we grew up, it was a lot of that experimentation, and, you know, we just figured how to things. And that's kind of what you've taken through this process. And I'm sure in hindsight, there's things you would have done differently, or maybe you would have started sooner, or charged more, or marketed different. Like I said, what brought me back to you is, you know, saw your Instagram, right? You're constantly posting. And that just is, that's what got me thinking again about our escapees, not just from, you know, because I talk a lot about how do you take your corporate experience and monetize it, small businesses need it. But the more and more I get connect with others, some are opening gyms, right? Or they're doing just following passions that they wish they would have done 30 years ago. And it just makes sense. So just get started. You're right. There's a financial tie. You've got to be smart about it. But, you know, like I said, you've figured it out so far. And my guess is you're really going to figure this out once, you know, these pieces start to click. Sometimes it just takes a little while for it to go. And again, selfishly from my side, I'm thinking, you know, I've been, you know, fitness enthusiast for my entire life, but trying to find and parse through good advice, right? From nutrition, from weights, from cardio. And it's just like in corporate, I promise I'm getting to a question here. It's right. If you're talking to a sales guy, they're going to give you sales advice. You're talking to a marketing guy, they're giving you marketing. Same thing. If you're talking to a nutritionist, they're going to tell you this. You know, for me, as I was looking to get stronger and figure out the longevity, there's nobody that has weight plans or, right? You know, our high school football coach, you say, hey, here's what your, this is what your lift schedule looks like, these things. I can't find that, right? I can plug it into ChatGPT, but I'm not convinced it's pulling from the right people. So anyway, so again, the dual benefit of this is you're doing something, you're following your passion, you're testing things. Let me get back to the marketing side of this. So what are you doing from a marketing? I know you're on Instagram. What are some of the other things that you're doing?
For sure. So on Instagram, I have my own personal page that I'm posting to, and I'm just trying to give what I think is helpful advice, or like problems I struggled with, or that parents are talking to me about, athletes are talking to me about, you know, try to use as a platform to give value and to give content. Also have the gym's social media with that, just trying to highlight our community, highlight the work that our athletes are pouring into, the progress that our adults are making, and then just try to use it to showcase them and all the greatness that they've experienced and have achieved so far. Both of those are linked to Facebook. Facebook's huge in our market or my market. And then on the other side, just doing a lot of email marketing, trying to grow the email list by offering lead magnets or going to tournaments, camps, you know, trying to offer something to them and collect their email so that, you know, we can just continue to offer stuff that's useful to them in more of a blog style format, nutrition topics, recovery topics, but then also have offers associated to that to try to get people in the door. So those are the two big ones, just email and social media.
Yeah. And I think like your content's tailor-made for it. Because again, I think raising three daughters that were athletes, cheer. But I mean, that's a well-rounded sport that, right, there was no advice. There was the training was the cheer training, or you'd go tumbling, right? It wasn't, and I'm even thinking the bigger picture, right, with kids and devices and, right, maybe there's even, I know you're training athletes, but maybe there's a subset below that just parents worried about their kids not getting out of the house. How do I just get them out and balanced and set up for the rest of their life, whether they're an athlete or not, right? We all need to move. And it's just, I don't know, you probably see that more than anybody, the kids, right? Because right now, I'm sure these are the ones that want to play sports and do things. But man, there's got to be a whole market of folks that don't want to go hardcore, but just need to get outside or get out and move.
Yeah. The more I've been in it, the more I really believe in what I'm doing with this, you know, and chatting with parents, kids, you know, some of these kids have gym class twice a week and it's like an hour. Now, granted, they're going to sports and stuff after school, but to me, I don't think 1, 2, 3 hours a day is usually enough from a physical perspective. And then I think you're totally right. You know, if they're not playing sports, if they're not involved in it and they're just going home playing video games, which is all these kids do very frequently, I don't think they're getting the physical exposure that they need. They're not challenging their body. You know, I do see a lot of athletes that come in with coordination issues that sometimes surprises me just based on their age and kind of the sports that they play. But also too, you know, I think from, you know, me growing up and probably you growing up, where you're outside playing, you're doing games, you're climbing on things, challenging yourself, failing at different things, you learn the mentality, like the mental resiliency around, you know, if you're playing pickup basketball and you lose, okay, you go to the next game and you play again. Whereas kids these days, if they're playing NCAA football, they lose or they're losing, they can just quit and then they can go play again and try to win.
Yeah.
So leaning into that mental aspect is something that I've been pretty keen on, because to your point, yes, it's important to be athletic and to achieve athletic success, but sports ends at some point. And so if these athletes can be better from a mental perspective and how they carry themselves with their confidence, with their character, they, to me, that's a big win, that they can go out and be better individuals, better humans, go out and try to achieve whatever sort of success that they want to go out and achieve.
Yeah, makes sense. And the mission is super strong, right? How do we get kids out those screens into that? And, you know, even with some of the sports, I know we're really going down a rabbit hole now, but, you know, a lot of coaches prefer having kids that play multiple sports versus specializing way too early. And that's probably a whole different episode. But again, I just think the getting out, you forget how to play, right? And it's just so healthy. And like I kind of promised in the beginning of this was going to be a dual threat episode, because you know, one of the things when I left corporate, I'm probably 30 pounds lighter than when I was, you know, 6 years ago when I exited corporate. And it's just because time, and that's an excuse because you could put, there's always time. But, you know, so think about, you know, my generation, your parents are probably in the same age bracket. And, you know, well, how do we get back into shape, right? Because it's, if we haven't been doing anything for decades, right, it's a step. And but it's kind of the same process. Just get back, play, get outside, get moving. You know, so what are some suggestions or recommendations you'd have for the audience if, yeah, they want to improve every longevity, fitness, right, overall? What are some of your best practices?
Absolutely. I think the first thing is just movement in general, and this building that movement capacity. To me, that just looks like taking walks, walking as much as you can, as many times as you can. You know, is that parking further away from at the grocery store? Absolutely. Is it a walk when you wake up in the morning, at night, talking to a friend, you know, or maybe you're even taking a meeting on the phone or something like that? I think that's a great first step. The more times you can just get your body moving, kind of the easier process becomes, the better you feel. And then it just kind of sets you up for adding other things. For, you know, 45, 50 plus age group, I think strength training is essential. You know, for me and how I view it, the more muscle you have, the more freedom that you're going to experience. It's body control. It's just being able to move. You know, for me, I experienced it with my grandpa where he didn't move after he retired. And granted, he was 60, 65, but, you know, you just sat on the couch all day long. And last year, he ended up falling while he was trying to get up off the toilet, broke his hip, and he's kind of even worse off than he was before. So it's a real thing. It's a real potential. And the stronger your muscles are, the better functioning they are, just kind of the safer that you are, the older you get.
And I want to dig into the strength training in a second. But to that point, right, one of the things, again, I've become more hyper-focused on longevity and how do I improve my odds and just general medicine. If you take care of yourself, I think the last stat I read that, you know, if you're 50 now, there's a better than 50% chance, you know, you're going to live to the age of 90, right? So even if you are 50, 60, you got potentially 30 good years left. And so how do you make not just living that, but, you know, running or doing, playing golf at the age of 9, my 90th birthday type of thing, which is so important. So coming back to the strength training, because I've been just experimenting with the best, right? I used the, you know, chest and did the breakup, then I moved to a full body. Is that 2 days a week, 3 days a week? Can you just give us what's your recommendation if we're going to do strength training? We don't want to be bodybuilders, right? So give us that 80-20 where you're going to get maximum benefit from going to the gym. What should we be thinking about from weights? And how much time would be ideal for this age group?
Absolutely. So kind of the prescription that we use kind of in the gym here, we do 3 days a week of strength training, and that's total body lifts. For us, that looks like the squat, the hinge, push, and pull. Predominantly, if it's going to be that structure, you know, doing it bilaterally, so with both feet or both arms, is probably the best approach. And then just adding an accessory and supplemental stuff to that. I think that any workout shouldn't be greater than 60 minutes. I think there's been some research out there that anything over that tends to kind of have a detraining effect. You don't get the most out of it. Kind of depends on the population, but at least for, you know, this age group, I think 60 minutes works. If you're doing 3 days a week, it gives you enough time to rest and recover in between. And that's kind of where that, you know, walking effect comes in, where if you're staying active and moving outside of it and your body's recovering, you're tearing muscle, but then also rebuilding it, you know, it has a very complementary effect to just adding to your health and longevity.
Yeah, and you think the 3 days, like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, then 2 days off is good. You know, one of the things that I was doing originally when I left corporate, but now I've put more weights into it, was just body weights like dips, pull-ups, push-ups, almost exclusively doing those outside. But I have found a benefit of adding, right, some of the additional lifts into it. So, all right, that's helpful. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday is good. And do you mix up, all right, getting super technical or tactical on this, but do you mix up, you know, heavy lifting? Is this like 8 to 10 reps? Should you be doing 4 to 5 reps? Or what's kind of the best practices in that space?
Typically, I would say it depends on the person's goal. I would say in general, kind of how I like to structure it, starting off the week with somewhat of a higher intensity. So meaning trying to lift heavier weights, and that would probably be somewhere from 4 to 6 rep ranges.
Okay.
Across 3 to 5 sets, depending on the exercise. Kind of on a Wednesday, you could look to pull back the intensity slightly. So maybe not going as heavy, you know, there's a couple different ways to manage or at least to gauge intensity, reps in reserve, RPE, percentage of a 1RM. But, you know, if you have like 2 or 3 reps in the tank, typically, then I think that's probably fine. On a Friday, we tend to go high volume. So looking to go, you know, 3 to 5 sets, 8 to 12 reps, maybe 15 reps, depending on the exercise, depending on the movement. Really trying to just tear the muscle down so that you have the whole weekend to recover, rebuild. It's kind of how I like to structure it. Got it. I would say also, too, it depends on how you're feeling and kind of how what your recovery is. You know, if you find where you're going, maybe you're doing a lot of high volume and you just kind of feel beat down, energy's low, it probably makes sense to pull it back. You know, your body just can't keep up with that sort of volume. It's too much. Doing, you know, your body just can't recover from it. Just as much if you're going super high intensity, super heavy weight all the time, you know, odds are you're probably going to end up with some sort of injury. And, you know, your body has a lot of mechanisms in itself to tell you that you're going too hard, you're pushing too much.
Got it. And what do you factor in with from a cardio? Definitely 100% on board with you on the walking. That fundamentally changed a lot of things for me. But I do like to get there's research, at least data shows getting the heart rate up is still important. So how do you incorporate that?
So for us, we do it one day a week, and that's on Tuesdays. And I like to focus on anaerobic alactic training. So, you know, it's all interval based, working somewhere between 8 to 20, 30 seconds, depending on what the movement is. For us, we're doing assault bikes, we're doing slam balls, kettlebell swings, battle ropes, other core movements, farmer carries, in that interval style where we're going to go hard for, call it 15 seconds, and then we give ourselves 45 seconds rest or a minute rest, something like that. So you're kind of making your heart rate go up, come back down, up, come back down. You know, for me, I did a lot of kind of long zone 2 running. I ran a marathon, a few half marathons. I got sick of it. I got bored of it. And I think most people just don't want to put that sort of time in and let their mind run free for that. So if we can jack up the heart rate in short intervals and then let it recover, you kind of get the same effect and kind of get the same feeling.
This makes a lot of sense. And all right, so lastly on this, what about nutrition? There's the Mediterranean diet. You can go high protein, keto. And to me, it's always seemed if you just want to lose weight, it's calories in, calories out. And then maybe when you get to a certain threshold, then you can start to optimize. But curious, what's your take on that?
100%. You know, if the goal is weight loss, which I think for most of the population, it generally is, a calories in, calories out. I mean, it's the law of thermodynamics. You know, if you're eating too much, your body's going to retain it. If you eat less, your body's going to shut it off because it doesn't need it and it's going to burn it up itself. So 100%. From there, you can kind of get into the specifics of proteins, carbs, and fats. I tend to prefer and to favor a high protein diet, both for if you're looking to put on weight or if you're looking to lose weight. It's very satiating, so it keeps you full. You know, it takes longer to eat. You know, think about chewing on, you know, a piece of steak versus like some broccoli. It's a different feeling. And obviously it helps with the building muscle aspect. And then from there, you can kind of dial in carbs and proteins depending on what your goal is. Then you can get into like even when are you training? What are you doing before or after it? What does your full day look like? You know, the deeper you go down, the kind of more intense it can get.
Yeah. What about intermittent fasting? I mean, I'll share my experience with that. To me, it worked for me because I wasn't eating as much. It was the calories in, calories out, because I had fewer hours to eat. I wasn't as hungry in those time frames versus the ketosis if you're 16, which I'm sure there's some benefit. But again, probably most of our audience, if they're listening to us, are more, give me the 101 version of this thing, right? So what's your take on intermittent fasting?
Yeah, I tried it myself too in college and kind of within my first career. And I think it worked to a certain extent. I kind of found that I was doing a lot of working out before work. And so then I would work out and then not eat anything for 5 hours. However, that's a great window where your body's wanting nutrients, wanting to replenish itself, rebuild itself. So for me, I kind of geared away from it. I think in general, people want to eat more than less, generally speaking. And so from that perspective, I think it's kind of hard to find that consistency, find it to fit your lifestyle, where if you're going out with friends at 8 p.m., you know, shoot, I missed my, you know, I had to stop eating at 7, so I can't do anything. So I think it just kind of adds to a lot of inflexibility. It kind of creates a lot of constraints that I don't think people really want to have on their life. So for me, I think if you just focus on whole foods, prioritizing protein, eating carbs that match kind of your activity level and energy level, and then adding the fats to kind of supplement that aspect, I think you're good to go. You can make that work eating out. You can make it work eating at home. You know, there's a lot of ways to kind of have it all come together. But
yeah, it's got to be important to you, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts, because I've gotten to a point now where I eat mostly just healthy stuff. I don't have too many cheat days, but I still eat too much, right? It's just, it's frustrating because you can eat all the good food. You can eat nothing but the fruits and maybe a protein bar and those things, but it's just, you know, it's calories in, calories out. Any way you look at it, I haven't found any other way around it. So unfortunately, that's the reality. And it seems to be that as we get older, we slow down a little bit with the metabolism. And so you just really can't eat. And right, putting on the muscle when you're lifting takes a little more. So I think that part of what the challenge is being able to stay with it. Because like I said, when you're younger, you can see the benefits fairly quickly. But as you get older, it takes time. And to me, it's just become part of the lifestyle is what I'm trying to get to. And so that's what I'm trying to encourage others to find that balance. You have time, right? So again, my audience has escaped corporate or thinking about it. We own our calendar now, right? When you're in corporate, you live those hours, right? It could be 7 or 8 a.m. till 5 or 6. You don't feel like, you know, when I was younger, yes, I'd get up early before work and work out, but most of us weren't doing that anymore. And you don't feel like doing it at 8 o'clock at night. All of a sudden now you can build it into your day. And so again, I think it's just being smart and getting the 80-20 rule. But there's so much nonsense out there about, right, if eating a certain type of food, you're going to lose weight. Like, I'm not buying it, but I'm not studying this like you are. So,
I think the biggest thing that's kind of helped me out too is having a plan, having a structured weight training plan, cardio plan. I think it takes being realistic about, hey, how much time do I actually have to get to this? How much time do I want to get to this? And then mapping out, okay, if this is how much time I have, these are the days that I can do this at this time. And same thing goes for nutrition. You know, for me, I build out what my meals are going to look like for the entire week. For me, I dial it down all the way to the calorie, to the macro, just because I have my own goals related to it. But it helps me out because I know when I go home at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., it's been a super long day. I know exactly what I need to eat. It's in the fridge. It's already made. I can eat it, go to bed, and I'm doing the same thing the next day. So to me, people, I think, probably take that as, well, there's no freedom in that. But I think it gives me a lot of freedom in just kind of living how I want.
I think you're right. You will never be able to see this. So this is a plan. So I don't know if you've ever read the book. What is it? Michael Easter's book. I'm looking over.
Comfort Crisis.
Yeah. Hard. And Jesse Itzler talks a lot about, you know, doing something to challenge yourself once a year. So last year I ran a half marathon in November without really training. And so I'm like, all right, what am I going to do this fall? I'm like, I could do the half marathon and put some effort into it, but I've decided to run a 5K for time to see if I can get it under 8 minutes, which is going to be an absolute stretch. But in order for me to get there, here's my plan, right? I needed to start incorporating some things into this. And it's the same thing. You're right. I don't have a plan for my diet. And that's why I don't want to say suffer from it, but I'm not where I want to be because I haven't put it in paper. So I'm 100% on board with challenge yourself, do something hard. And like I said, if you're still in corporate, this could be your hard thing to get you jump-started is figure it out. But yeah, by the way, I don't know if you're not a long-time listener of the podcast, but we actually had Michael on the podcast a couple years ago talking about this. He had me motivated by the time I was done with that. So awesome, Greg. Well, I appreciate your time. Like I said, the dual threat episode. We may have to bring you back from time to time to update us on fitness, or we'll make you the official fitness coach of Gen Xers if you're willing to take the title. And I just think there's a gap. Like I said, I appreciate the education and good continued luck. Like I said, I know you're still early in your journey, but I think you're doing it the right way. You're experimenting, you're figuring it out, and just keep pushing, right? So
yeah, I appreciate it.
What's the best way for folks? I don't know if we have a ton of people in suburban Tennessee in the audience, but if they want to follow you online and get connected, ask you questions, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I don't know my Instagram tagline, but if you just look Greg Bodansky III, I'm sure I'd pop up.
Or I think we'll add it to the show notes too, so you don't have to look at it. That's awesome. You don't even know your tagline.
Yeah. Social media is important, but I try to focus on coaching first, important to the athletes that are in here. And, you know, when I have time to post my own stuff, then try to do that. But yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. We'll get it. I follow you, so we'll figure it out and add it to the show notes for you. So, all right, Greg, appreciate it. Continued success, and we'll check in from you on time to time.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Brett.